Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you and welcome to the Initiative Radio Network. I am Sister Pamela K. Muhammad, and this is no other than the program of Pamela Patterson Lightman. Tonight we're going to discuss the possibility of marriage. So that's what we're going to discuss today. The of courtship, the do's and the don'ts, and you know what makes a strong marriage and or what makes a successful marriage. And also, we have none other than our beautiful, beloved brother, Brother Marcellus, who's also co-host with his sister. So that, let me see if my brother is ready to join us. Have some like you, brother. Brother Marcellus, are you on? Okay, let's give the brother a second to see if he's coming. But in the meantime, we're going to, as I said, we're going to discuss, and if you hear a little noise or something, that is because someone's working in my house, so I do apologize for that. Let me see if my brother is coming on. Okay, I said I'm a nice brother. Can you hear me? Oh, we're having some difficulties. Hold on. Brother Mastalis, can you hear me? I can't hear you. Make sure your phone is not on mute. Okay, I may have to hang up and he may have to call in to see. Send me a text, brother, if you can hear me. Because I cannot hear you at all. Okay, for everyone that have joined us, thank you so much. And we do appreciate you. But at this time, I'm having a bit of technical difficulties, but inshallah, God willing, we're going to get this matter settled in no time. I'm to be joined by no other than my beloved brother, my status, but for some reason, I cannot hear my brother. Let me ask again. I'll send him a message and see if he can hear me. Brother Mastalis, can you hear me, sir? Because I can't hear you at all. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and discuss for a minute and hopefully give him time to see what is going on. But as you exit program, is just give me one moment. I do apologize, but as you know, technical difficulties are always part of technology. Assalamualaikum. This family is here. Unfortunately, we have another difficulty, so please stay with us. Please be patient and just call right back in because I'm going to hang up and we're going to start this show again. Thank you so much. Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum, Sister Pamela.
Well, thank you for some praises be to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And I do apologize for the difficulties, everyone. But as you know, technology is very unpredictable. But with that, our praises are definitely due to Allah. And we want to open up in the name of Allah and, do it in His name. Ours do it in His name. And hopefully, we all will learn something here tonight, enjoy ourselves, and learn from each other. Because we're going to discuss, the courtship, from courtship to engagement to marriage, and what makes us a successful marriage, et cetera. And so I'm going to open up the first question, Brother Mastalis, and we can discuss it. And for those that are online, please call 563-999-3682, or if you can't get into the chat box, and please, you can text my number, which is 318-732-4573, and text your comment or your question on, relationship, what our successful things do or not to do, or et cetera. So we definitely we appreciate that. So with the first person that I'm going to pose for us to discuss is the finance. Because I've been hearing a lot of talk about how much money one has, et cetera. And again, I do apologize if you all hear a little beating or hammering because I'm getting some things done on the house and I didn't know that he was coming. But nevertheless, I'll pray for me for a long. So hope it's not too distracting. Okay, but with that, brother, thank you so much again for joining me. It's always such a pleasure to have you with us. If you are part of, the Initiative Radio Network, and my brother is a beautiful young brother who's just born right in front of our eyes, and I'm just so proud of my brother. So with that, brother, let's get into the show. As I was, on your post 2 days or so ago, we were having a great discussion of finance and a relationship. And I know I'm not naive. I know that money definitely plays a part in life. We all need it. We cannot, really have a quality of life without money, without, having some type of plans and savings, et cetera, which is beautiful. But I don't feel, in my humble opinion, that money is all that goes into a relationship. It'll be the only thing we can get. Because without love and respect and wisdom and all those beautiful things, then money would not get it anyway. So the question is, how much does money play a part in relationship or courtship, first of all? Do you think that sometimes as sisters, I'm going to keep it real here, that we sometimes look at a brother's pocket more than we look at their heart? What are your thoughts on that, brother?
Well, all praise is due to Allah. Thank you for the question, and thank you also for allowing me on the show this evening. And, this is definitely a subject that has really taken on a life of its own. And I think the reason for that being is because we are literally in the season of nation building. And you can't talk about nation building without having strong marriages because, like the minister teaches us, Minister Farrakhan says that, a strong marriage gives a nation a strong foundation. And so for me personally, I think that a brother definitely has to have his finances in order. And when I say in order, Don't mistake that for saying that you have to be rich. You don't have to be rich in order to find a good woman. But when I say that your money has to be in order, me personally, let's deal with ages first. So a young brother, let's say he's between 19 and say 25 years old, right? Those are the years that a young man is really just finding himself as far as his economics go. So I really don't expect the brother who's between the ages of 19 and 25 to have $50,000 saved up. I mean, that's flat out an unrealistic expectation. But, being a 25-year-old brother myself, I would recommend that brothers my age, all the way back to 19, don't do a courtship unless you have between $5,000 and $10,000 saved up. And the reason why I come up with that number is because at $5,000 to $10,000, you have enough to be able to put her at least in a very, very nice or comfortable apartment or condominium, right? And it also affords you the opportunity to still be able to have enough money in your pocket for the excess things, and you can still be saving on the back end of that. But, unfortunately, a lot of us, we like to rush into things, and, we'll be living paycheck to paycheck, but see a young lady that we like, and we think that it's okay to just, you know, go right after her.
Yes,
sir. Finances, definitely, to me, finances, they play a big role. But another thing on the other side of that, what young women have to understand, what young sisters have to understand, I should say, that are also between the ages of 19 and 25, that trying to land a brother your age who has it all together is very, very unrealistic. You're not gonna get a completed product. You're not gonna get someone who already has $100,000 saved up. You know, you're gonna get someone who's at the same place in his life that more than likely you are, and that's just starting off, just hitting the ground. And you know, the purpose of a union between a man and a woman is so that the man can be groomed into the God that he was always meant to be. And the institution of marriage is what really facilitates that. But unfortunately, you know, we come into relationships with unrealistic goals financially, unrealistic goals, living situation-wise, and then we want to blame everybody but ourselves. But had we applied the knowledge and had we been sensible about certain things, either the marriage would have lasted longer or we would have had enough wisdom to not even get in the marriage in the first place, because we saw the signs that showed us that the marriage was not going to go anywhere.
I speak to Allah. Yes, sir. I agree with all that you have said, brother. You're absolutely right, especially as you mentioned in your age frame. You know, you all just started out, so a sister resistantly, you know, as she stated about a mansion and, you know, two cars already paid for, and, you know, that is just unresisting. So you have to sit down, you know, if you're starting out, as I said, and things get a bit serious, you know, and know what before that happens, you know, communicate and see where one's mind is, so you can know already, okay, you know, you can make a list, okay, do's and don'ts, you know, and to find out if that person is for you or not. But as you said, yes, sir, we definitely have to have money. I remember once before, as a sister and brother, they were, you know, in courtship, and the sister saw that the brother wasn't quite there financially. So, and she really, really felt that he could be the one. And, you know, she stepped back for a couple months. And I love the way she did it, you know, and explained to the brother, not to be disrespectful or anything, saying that, yes, I do like you. Yes, that, you know, there's something here that could possibly be here. But I'm not feeling comfortable with this, that, and that. I said, you improve. The brother did a beautiful thing. He stepped to the plate, and about a year or so, he came back and asked for court again when he got his, you know, financial things a bit more into place. He accepted, and today they are married, going good, they have, you know, babies, and all praises be to Allah. But that's the beauty of it. You know, you get to be honest with each other and see what one, you know, can bring to the table. And, you know, and if you know, God forbid, if it's not to your liking, then that's okay. You know, just be honest about this, but also be realistic about it also. And so that's the beauty of it. And so what you said is absolutely correct. I believe, and I agree with what you said, you know, have something saved up so you can, you know, have a decent place for the sister, for yourself, you know, to build up on that. And that is the most important thing. And sometimes also, you know, have to discuss just just one that wants to be a, you know, home mother and stay at home, or, you know, that type of thing. Some people don't want to stay at home. They want to be able to work, and that's fine, too. So those things should be discussed, you know, before marriage, so everyone wants to be on one accord. Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad that you said that, because that's another dynamic that I've been very, very vocal on. You know, me personally, I don't have an issue with a woman wanting to work. Like the most unbelievable woman teaches us, he teaches us that a woman can do anything that a man can do as long as it does not degrade her. Now, while I don't have a problem, while I wouldn't have a problem with my wife wanting to work, I would have to insist that she find a way to do it out of the comfort of our home. And the reason why I say that is because, like Dr. Wesley so eloquently put the other night, you know, the way that corporate, the way that black women are preyed upon sexually in corporate America, no self-respecting and knowledgeable black man would want his woman to be going to work at a Chase Bank, would want his woman to be going to work at an Auto Nation, would want his woman to be going to work at one of these Fortune 500 companies where you have these rich and racist and used to getting anything they want to white dudes coming to your wife and saying, okay, if you want to get paid, you got to sleep with me. If you want this promotion, you got to sleep with me. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely would never try to hold my wife back to securing money or securing accolades that may, you know, that may fuel her ambition. But as her husband, I would have to insist that we find a way to where she can do it from the comfort of our home, because I just flat out will not allow my wife to be going to work in the white man's world unless the situation calls to where she absolutely had to. What do I mean by that? If I got injured or something like that, or if, you know, we got that, or we got down bad, because couples do hit rock bottom sometimes. It is not necessarily, you know, because somebody's bad with money. It's just that sometimes a lot of things come with these things. So sometimes, you know, y'all might have to make that sacrifice as a couple, and she go out and get a little part-time job at a CVS or something like that. It should never be permanent. But just for me personally, I would love for my wife to do her thing, make her money and stuff like that. I don't have an issue with that. But I would insist, and also I would try to assist her being able to do her thing out of the comfort of our own home.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Mike. You hit on a great point. And as you said, you know, with black us being so, as you know, so unprotected in this society as black women, you're absolutely right. As the husband to protect her, definitely, you know, it needs to be more secure than control. And I know a lot of women don't understand the word control, because we have you know, heard that we're an infinite negative. But once you get rid of love there, you still have freedom, but you have to just be controlled from being harmed or unprotected, and you know, financially, physically, et cetera, when you have the right type of brother or husband in your life. Yes, sir. Beautiful, beautiful dialogue, brother. Now let's go to the next question of that long distance courtship. You know, there's positive and negative and everything, because that is a part of life. I know some who have, you know, been in a distant relationship. Some worked, or courtship, should I say. Some worked and some didn't. And the benefits, we're going to just talk, you know, a bit about some of the benefits, some of the, or the positive and the negative. To me, you know, that person is right for us again. To me, you know, no distance is such a big hindrance that you can't work through those challenges. Maybe it's my fairy tale mind or whatever, I don't know, but that's just my belief of faith. You know, what's meant to be, or if one is meant to be with each other through all the challenges, then it can happen. But I know, of course, you know, living long distance apart, you know, you have to set up time for money, of course, to travel. That in itself is, you know, a difficult thing in this society with so much of the economy being the way it is. But, you know, money is one thing, then, of course, you need to spend part of the time to see, you know, who that person really is. And as the medical one said, if I'm wrong, then please correct me, that you don't really know a person. Well, make a person mad, then you'll see that you're a real person, you know, or upset the person, you know, a bit. Not the thing that do it, but, you know, it kind of affects them a little bit. That's better. If a person gets angry, you can see the real person because, you know, sometimes we lose it. So basically, you know, that's the beauty and the negativeness of long distance, of being able to spend quality time to see that person. You know, are they really who they say they are? You know, because sometimes we can, for those that like to be behind it, I try to keep it real. You know, wherever I go, I am who I am, but some people, you know, do not always show their real self. So what are your thoughts on long-distance courtships or the positives and the negatives, and what are your thoughts there on that particular subject?
Oh, praise you so long. Well, I'll start with the negatives.
Okay.
And work my way to the positives. The negative, one of the biggest negatives about a long-distance relationship is the fact that obviously you can't see them whenever you want to. And when I say see them,
mm-hmm.
I mean physical interaction. Because, you know, talking on the phone is good, FaceTiming is good, but, you know, nothing beats that up close and personal, you know, interaction where you can, like, you know, you can physically see them. There's no screen separating you two. So that's one of the negatives. And, of course, you know, when you can't see someone all the time, you don't
mm-hmm.
really know what they're up to. You know, so you don't really know what they're up to, because at the end of the day, human beings have needs. You know, one of those
right.
needs is having company. It doesn't have to
mm-hmm.
necessarily be sex, even though sex is one of those needs that human beings have. The simple fact
right.
of having company, and you know, sometimes when you're in a long distance courtship or you're in a long distance relationship, even, and you're with someone who likes you, but their will is weak to the point where they may say, okay, I know, you know, me and this guy is talking, I know me and this woman is you know, technically seeing each other, but if I can't be around all the time, I got to hit the club or something. I got to be around somebody, you know what I'm saying, they can, quote-unquote, appreciate
yeah.
me. So those, you know, that's one of the things. And then next thing you know, somebody done cheated or somebody done violated the courtship, and the other person
mm-hmm.
is like, dang, you know, because all that does is hurt your all that really does is hurt your trust, and it discourages you from wanting to do that again in the future. Now,
yes,
the positives of a long distance courtship is that you get a chance to appreciate someone without having to be around them, and that's big because, you know, no one is around you 24/7, 365, but you anyway. So if you can find a way to establish a connection with someone that you don't see every day, you can just imagine the bliss that the two of you all are going to experience once you all are together. And so, and the last point, because I did two negatives, so I got to do two positives to even it out. But, one more positive is that, you know, if when you're in a long-distance courtship or you're in a long-distance relationship, if it doesn't work out, I feel like it's less of a blow, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, if y'all come to the conclusion that, dang, it's not really working out, then y'all could just go all separate ways, and it's not like you have to see that person every single day, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you have your heart set on something and it doesn't work out, a lot of times we get embarrassed and we don't really want to see that person because we feel like, dang, like, I kind of wasted time or whatever like that. But if there's no distance, you know, chances are you probably never see that person again.
Right. 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 It'd be easy. It'd be so easy on the heart. Well, easier, you know. But you're absolutely right. Seeing that person died every day, because I've been through that before, and I saw him every time, and I'm like, oh, God, help me. You know, let me get over him. And,
yeah.
Yes, that's right. For your audience, we do have a question from one of our beautiful sisters here. She wants to know if what do you think about if a brother failed on hard times and his wife wants to work to help out until he ran back on his feet? Would you allow it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what we have to understand is that, you know, women are coming up. And when I say coming up, I'm not talking about money-wise. I'm talking about socially, politically, and really self-esteem-wise, because for a very long time in this world, women were one of the most marginalized and oppressed groups. And, you know, it pleases me to see more – it pleases me to see women gaining more and more momentum. So if my wife loves me enough, because it could be worse, right? Let's flip that. You could be mm-hmm. one of those dudes that's out here busting your behind, and then when you get injured, your wife say, oh, well, what we going to do now? As opposed to taking a bull by the horns and saying, listen, babe, I know you're down right now. Don't worry about it. I got us. You know what I'm saying? That's not to say, like mm-hmm. what you said, that's not to say that a man gets comfortable. But, you know, me personally, I want a woman in my life that if I were to fall on hard times, I mean, if I got injured while I was out here making moves or whatever like that, or say mm-hmm. I got a couple of business ventures that may not be panning out right now, and she calls me and say, babe, what can I do to help? Or she just said, or she just goes out and she takes the initiative. I would never get mad at my partner, at my teammate, for filling a void without needing to be asked to do it. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. a woman like that, you gotta value somebody like that, because that's not gonna come around often. You know, what we see a lot of in society is, you know, we see a lot of instances where women get so used to a man going out and providing that mm-hmm. sometimes they never have that mindset of just in case. And what I mean by that is you always gotta have a skill on tuck. You always gotta have a hustle on tuck to where if anything happens to the main provider, you're able to do just enough to hold the ship down until he can get back on his feet and assume the role of a captain. And so, you know, like I said, if I'm healthy, I would love for my wife to work, but I would have to insist mm-hmm. that it be from the comfort of our own home. But if I was unable to provide temporarily, and my wife said, you know, I have a way for us to make money or whatever like that to get by till you get on your feet, I'm all cool with it. As long as it doesn't degrade her as a woman and, you know, she's doing it for the right reasons, far be it from me to do her new. You know, I'm her husband, I'm her partner. I'm not her God. You know what I'm saying? I'm not her oppressor. You know what I'm saying? I'm her partner. If I can't make the game-winning shot, who else do I want mm-hmm. to make it other than my wife? And likewise with her. If she can't make the game-winning shot, put me in, coach.
Right, right. Wow. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I mean, who would want a woman or vice versa, a man, you know, to be in that corner when hard times come? Because that's when you see the true person then. You know, as they say, when it's springtime or summertime, you know, that's the romance time, and you know, the lovey-dovey, and you feel great, and everything's going fine. But when the winter comes, and that's when the challenges of life take place, and you know, and that's when you want to know, who are you? Are you really the one for me in my corner? You will see exactly what kind of character or what kind of strength you have when we hit on hard or challenging times, you know, in life or in a marriage. And that's the beauty of it. And you're absolutely right. Who wouldn't want that person to be that, you know, and that strong force in that corner? So absolutely right.
Yes, that's beautiful. We have another question. Okay, the next question is, give me a second. Get the computer lined up here. The next person that wants to know, the honest, ask, what do you think about a this for a person that's already married, but that's what we're talking about, courtship, engagement, almost to marriage? What do you think about having a separate, that's also, you know, do you believe in having a separate bank account or more than one bank account or a joint bank account for the both of us, or should it be all in one?
Oh wow, that's a good question. And before I answer, I want to remind everybody that is tuning in, if you have a question or comment, just push one, and we'll be more than happy to bring you in so that way we can hear from you. Now, to answer the question, me personally, I think that in a marriage, you should approach it as a team. You should approach it as partners. So for me, I would say that there should be two accounts. But when I say that, I'm not talking about a man has his own account and then a wife has her own account. When I say two accounts, I mean one account should be for business and one account should be for paying bills, which is managed by the both of them. Because ultimately in a household, ideally, a woman is the one who's allocating the funds because she spends the most time at the house. She knows the ins and outs of the house while you out there securing the bag. So she knows when the light bill needs to be paid. She knows when the mortgage needs to be paid. She knows when y'all need to repaint the patio outside, how much that's going to cost. So I think you should have a business account where, you know, her hustle, whatever she's doing, your hustles, whatever you're doing, that's the money that y'all are saving and investing and reinvesting and so on and so forth. And then you have an account where you're putting money into it to make sure that the essentials of y'all life are being well taken care of. So I don't believe that a man should have his own money off to the side that the wife don't know about, and the wife should have her own account off to the side that the man don't know about if y'all really love each other. Now, if you got one of those crazy relationships where y'all just like having sex, but y'all don't necessarily trust each other, then of course you gonna be for having accounts and stuff like that. But if the love is real and the man got some sense and the woman ain't out here on no crazy stuff, then I won't see a point why y'all should be hiding money from each other or just keeping money separate. Say, oh, this is mine and you got yours on over here, because I don't care what anybody says. Any marriage that has separate accounts, the trust is not 100%. Money is the ultimate indicator of whether or not you truly trust someone. If you can't trust somebody with your money, then you really don't. Then you really don't trust that person. So, for, like I said, for me and I'm pretty sure it varies from marriage to marriage. But for me, there will only be two accounts in my household, inshallah. There'll be a business account that we're saving money in, as well as investing and reinvesting money, and then we'll have a bill account where that money will be going towards the allocation of the mortgage, you know, gas for our car or whatever the case may be. But as far as me keeping money away from my wife, I'll never do that, and I will hope that I marry someone who doesn't do that to me, because I view marriage as a team effort. And not as the man got to do all this or the woman got to do all this. No, we do stuff together. And all that does is add on to the love when you know that you can trust someone with your hard-earned money.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that, brother. And, I giggled a little bit when you said, you will know if you can trust someone when it comes to the minor aspect of a relationship, whatever relationship that is. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So that's the major key right there. The next person we have is, do you think that age matters in a relationship? Does age play?
Oh, wow. I guess it really depends, right? So, like, again, I'll speak for myself when I say that, you know, for me, I'm pretty confident. So I would never want to marry someone who's more than
2 years younger than me. And the reason for that is because, you know, maturity. It's like maturity plays a big, big role. And as far as being older than me, I'm married to someone who's about, you know, 7 to 8 years older than me at the very most. So I think it really depends on the person as far as what they're looking for in someone. But I will say that, you know, I see, and I got to say this to the brothers a lot, because I see a lot of older brothers trying to go for younger sisters. And I'm not talking about like 14 or something like that. But, you know, if you're a brother and you like in your mid-40s, don't be trying to holler at no MGT or no sister who's in her 20s. She's just starting off her life. You know what I'm saying? She has certain experiences that she has to experience that you've already experienced probably 2 or 3 times over. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's what I really want to say to the brothers is that I get that you want a sister who's full of life and young, because unfortunately sometimes, you know, by the time some women get to be in their mid-40s, you know, they get quote-unquote, you know what I'm saying, like, for lack of a better word, boring. I'm not saying boring as in don't go out and do it. I'm saying boring as in that zeal of life sometimes tends to leave just at a certain age. So brothers go out and try to get them like a 20-year-old or something like that, thinking that they could keep up with them, only to get married to them and realize, oh snap, I can't keep up with this sister. And so I just think that we should definitely court our age. But you know, somebody a couple of years younger than you, a couple of years older than you, as long as it's legal, obviously, I don't really see a problem. But for me, I would never want to marry someone that's more than 3 years younger than me. And my limit as far as being older than me would be around like 7 or 8 years. Though I can say that in the past I have connected with sisters that were like in their late 30s, early 40s, like very, very vibrant, very, very had a youthful spirit and things like that. So it is possible. But like I said, you know, you definitely have to court our interest and be reasonable with it.
Yes, sir. You said some things that I definitely agree. You know, I feel that, you know, age sometimes, you know, in certain ages to me or maturity can definitely hinder a relationship. But I also think with some younger brothers who I've known who are even more mature than the older people, because like you said, sometimes as we, you know, I'm older, but I have a youthful, and I pray to God that I never leaves. And that's the beauty of our ministry. Yes, he has a beautiful spirit, so he can go either way. You know, he knows when to be mature, but he knows also how to grasp or attract the younger ones. See what I'm saying? Because he has that heart and that energy. As far as relationship, yes, I don't want no one like my grandpa age. No, sir. But you know, and no one too young either. But you know, a couple of years younger, praise be to Allah. You know, he's the one. Praise be to Allah. You know, yes, sir. I know he's a couple of years older. And he has the youthfulness, and you know, he's compatible. Praise be to Allah. So sometimes we don't, you know, we don't know. You know, it can come in a little different package, but as long as the package is what I'm attracted to, and so with that, praise be to Allah. The next question is, speaking of attraction, you know, we all say, oh, I want the one with a beautiful heart. Of course I do. But how much do you think that physical attraction plays a role in your relationship? I mean, let's be real here. The first thing I've always told people. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sister. Finish your point.
Oh, yes, sir. I was just, I'm so glad because I was discussing that one day in the group, and they were like, "Oh, you know, into the heart. Yes, of course you are the person with a heart, but you're not going to see that heart at first. Most say that does attract us is the physical of a person. Now, that's the truth. Let's keep it real here. And then when you get to know that person, you can see that more inner beauty. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, with having a physical attraction for someone. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to wake up with someone that you want to wake up to, that you'll be pleasant, you know, pleasant to look at in your eyes. So beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, don't get me wrong. But as I said, yes, physical plays a part in it. You know, it has to be, don't have to be Barbara's Kojo. I think he's very nice looking. But, you know, definitely physical plays a role in attracting. So it has to go both ways with me. Physical, yes. And the heart, definitely. You know, having a heart, having wisdom, and being able to share and talk about the teachings of the world, the things that's going on, because I'm a person that likes variety. I like different things, you know, and I like to be, you know, interested in and a lot of things and learn and grow and et cetera. So I just want to get a brother's perspective on the physical, you know, attributes of a woman versus, you know, her inner beauty. What are your thoughts on it, dear brother?
All praise to Allah. I concur. You know, physical attraction is so vital to the success of a relationship as long as it's kept in proper context. You know, everybody does have a type. You know, people can sit up here and say, "Oh, as long as they're trustworthy, as long as they're." You know, all that stuff sounds good, but I don't know anybody that has ever accepted a gift that was not wrapped attractively.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
this is why on Christmas so much emphasis is put on, you know, the designs that go on the wrap paper and stuff like that, because before you open up something, before you get to the interior of it, You want to be drawn by what's on the outside, because the outside really it entices you and it lights up your curiosity to get to what is on the
mm-hmm.
inside. And so, you know, we all have a type. We all have a male or a female that when we see them, we think, "Wow, that's a very, very beautiful sister," or "Wow, that's a very, very handsome brother." So
mm-hmm.
I definitely believe that the physical attraction is extremely important, and anybody who says that it isn't is just not being realistic. They're not keeping it a home though.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. But and you know, I remember Brother Sharon with me once and said, you know, I tried to like the sister, but I just couldn't do it. You know, I just wasn't physically attracted to her. I'm like, well, if you don't do, you're doing both of you all a disservice. You know, you don't want to leave her hanging on to something that is not there. And if you're not fitting, if you're not lying, then, you know, respectfully, let her go her way. There's nothing wrong with it. And so I tell everyone, I keep it real. If it's not somewhat physically attractive to what I find attractive, then there is no use in going any further with it. It is it. So with that, thank you so much. And again, for those who may be listening in or just tuned in, we are discussing myself and Brother My Status. We are discussing does finance determine the successfulness in getting married, and what are, you know, the positive and the negative, what are things that you can do, you know, to have a better, successful marriage. And so that's what we're discussing tonight, and I'm definitely enjoying it. Also, to call in, you can call 563-999-3682, push 1, and we will definitely bring you right on in. Thank you so much. And for those that have been submitted in person, please keep them coming, and I will definitely read them as my beloved brother. It's done such a beautiful job and just getting right to the source. Okay, we have another person coming in. Do you think that religion plays a role in being evil in guilt?
I think that, I definitely think that it does, but I don't think that it plays as big of a role as people make it out to be. Even if you have, even if you have two Christians that are getting together, ultimately what's going to keep them together is not the religion. It's going to be their faith. And people have to really understand the difference between religion and faith. Religion has certain dictates and mandates that are more inspired by culture than they are inspired by the Most High. And so any relationship that you have, even if the person does share the same religion with you, ultimately your faith is going to be tested, because you're going to be put into positions as a couple to where you won't necessarily be guided by a book. You won't necessarily be guided by the advice of your pastor, your student minister, or your rabbi. You're going to have to look into each other and find your reason for why y'all got together in the first place, and use that either as a justification to continue to go on, or as an excuse to go back in the room.
Yes, sir. Beautiful, brother. And you're absolutely right, because, you know, having so-called same religion doesn't guarantee a successful marriage either. I've seen some with quote-unquote the same religion, and it wasn't a successful marriage. I've also, you know, seen some who were, one was in Muslim and one was Christian, and thus what, they're still, you know, in the marriage. So sometimes they can work too. It just depends on the person, the maturity, the compromise, et cetera, in my humble opinion. Now, myself, you know, I prefer someone definitely in FOI in the Nation of Israel. You know, I just can't see otherwise, but I do not put others down who choose to marry whoever their heart, you know, whoever, because I don't have control over that. You know, I would hope to be a brother or a sister of a black brother or sister. And that's just my opinion. But, you know, ultimately, we all have a choice to decide and have the right to live it, you know, whichever which way we can. So with that, thank you so much. We can go to a promotion break or two, and we'll be right back with Brother Marcellus and Sister Pamela, K. Muhammad, and Pamela, Tyler, and Lightning. Thank you.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent, and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith at 242-423-6539, at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student ePortfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Okay, thank you, and welcome back to the Literacy Radio Network. This is the program called Pamela Patterson Enlightenment, and we are here to enlighten you and inspire you. And we have no other than our beloved brother, Mike Stylus, who also has a program on Saturdays at Joshua Generation, I believe. If I'm a little incorrect, here, brother, please enlighten me and definitely tell them when you are on so they can definitely tune in, et cetera.
All praise due to Allah. Yes, the sister is right. It is the Joshua Generation Speaks, and it is every Saturday. Usually it starts 7 o'clock to 9. Sometimes I get a late start, so it'll be from 7 to 9:30. Sometimes if I get a late start, it'll be from 8 to 10 o'clock. Now, you can talk to a 90-minute show each and every Saturday evening, Joshua Generation Speaks.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. And by the way, please tune in. He has a beautiful show. Very in-depth. You can write your questions in. You can call in. You know, be interactive. And to definitely we get much, much feedback and wisdom. And the brother does a wonderful job. I'll pray each along. We're having a great time here. And we do have some beautiful questions coming in. Beautiful question. We have a person here that says, with you being young, what advice would you give a junior FOI that's striving to be different when hormones are raising?
Oh, wow, praise be to Allah. You know, well, one of the things that I'm most proud of with my life in general, but specifically since I joined the Nation of Islam, has been my ability, by Allah's grace and mercy, to retain my virginity. And I think that in today's society, where men, young black men in particular, we are always taught that if we don't have sex by a certain age, either we're gay or there's something wrong with us. But I'm here to tell you that Allah has so much respect for a man that's able to keep his hormones at bay until he is married. And so for any young brother out there, whether he be an FOI knowingly or an FOI unknowingly, you maintain your discipline. And when Allah does lead you to the right woman or leads the right woman to you, it'll make it all worth it. So I get it, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18, you know, especially in your early 20s, you know, your hormones are raging. You know, you really want to explore the option of sex with a woman, as that's natural for any, you know, that's natural for any man, you know, but just make sure that you understand science behind sex before you just do it all loosely, and so that way you won't have any regrets about it.
Yes, that was from our beautiful sister, Denise Muhammad, and she said beautiful, and thank you so much for asking that question. Because, and it's beautiful. I love that because, you know, we have children, and let's be real, sex is a part of life. And a lot of times we want to throw it under the rug, pretend it doesn't happen, pretend we just don't feel certain desires and so on. So step that line, you know, I have to be real. I have to keep it real, you know. And we have children, they're out here, they're listening to music, and, you know, sex is everywhere in the music. It's in the videos. It's in movies. I mean, it is everywhere. So that's why our children are drawn to that. And, you know, we have to have some type of balance to have them to be able to cope with all of this, because, you know, sometimes it's difficult in adult life. So what do you think that is, you know, how they've been able to handle? So with that, as our dear beautiful sister said, thank you. You answered that. That's great. And we love you, brother. Your honesty is just so refreshing. It really is. And that's what it's about. Being honest, you know, having one another, and being real and not fake, because that is true love when we can sit down here and just discuss matters that really matters and topics that we all are going through or have gone through or we are going through as couples. Thank you so much. And as we wait for some more audience members to submit their questions, we're going to get one more question here. This question says that what do you consider love? She's a sister. She wants to, you know, she says she has been dating for a while, I think about 23 here, and she says she, you know, likes this brother, but she don't want to get her heart broken. So how do she know that it is real love versus just love? Thank you.
Well, that's easier said. That's easier. That's probably the easiest thing in the world to answer. You know, love. Mm-hmm. You know when you're loved by whether or not you're appreciated, and you know whether or not you're appreciated by the way that a person makes you feel, not physically, but how they make you feel.
Yeah.
How they make you feel mentally. And so I would say that, you know, the Quran defines love as duty. I would take it a step further and say that love is the element of life itself. If when you look at someone, if when you're around someone, if when you talk to someone, you are not constantly being fueled with the energy of love, of life, that person does not love mm-hmm. you, because you can fake words. You can even fake mm-hmm. deeds. One thing you cannot fake is vibes and energy. What you get from a person, from their mind, from their, you know what I'm saying, from their aura, that is mm-hmm. real. That's what you should lay hold to. So any man, and another indication of whether or not a man loves you is his willingness to take on the mission and the challenge of commitment.
Mm.
If a man is not willing to commit to you, then that just goes to show that he really doesn't care about you. You know, because a lot of men out here, there's some women too, but you find it mostly in men where they just want to get sex. And they want to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. But if you want to know when a man loves you, you know, you gotta look at does he take the initiative on taking up different challenges, taking up different commitments? Because I'm gonna keep it real with you. I just seen some women with men so sorry that have been with them for 5 and 6 and 10 and 15 years, and these dudes so mm-hmm. lazy and so sorry they won't even fill up. They won't even fill up the ice tray when they're done using the ice tray. They won't even take out the trash when they get done. You know what I'm saying? When it gets full. So you know a man when you see one, and just like you know a lame guy when you see one.
Yes, sir. You are on it, brother. All praise be to God. You're absolutely right. And in this day and time, you're so right. There are some of our brothers that, as you said, well, even fill up an ashtray, or even pick a piece of paper off of the ground, you know, and you want someone to help you. And like I always said, if that brother has some what they call a blue-collar job. I don't care. As long as he is striving to do that and they have ambitions to, you know, have more, you know, but I can love a person like that. It's not all, it is definitely, don't get me wrong. Now, money, I want to be comfortable now, don't get me wrong now. But what I'm saying, when I see a black brother that is working and striving to, you know, if he's able to take care of himself first, because that shows you something right there. If he's going to strive to take care of himself, then definitely it shall allow when he's ready to commit or take on a wife, and he definitely he's going to take care of her. So look at that first and see how he takes care of himself first. And then you would know either, okay, we can work with this, or either, no way, and keep rolling. So with that, thank you, brother, for that answering that question. Again, so in depth and with so much wisdom and just an absolute beautiful thank you. Yes. Again, for those. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Praise be to Allah. For those that are listening, let me update you. We are talking about relationships in the nation, what we know as courtships, you know, getting to know one another, like, you know, having a court, you know, put each other on the stand to see are we compatible, to, you know, God's willing to be married. And that's the beauty also, you know, when a brother is ready to put in those paper or submit a courtship, you know, it's beautiful. And if things don't work out, it doesn't mean that he's a failure or she's a failure. They just want compatible, and that's all it is. And that's the beauty of it, you know. And some people, you know, may not, you know, it didn't work out. And that's not to say, you know, that you may be disappointed, you know, because sometimes, let's be real, we may like a person a bit more than they like us sometimes, but it's okay. Allow no space. So once you know, you may have been, you know, it didn't go exactly the way that you would have liked. It's okay. You know, all praise be to Allah. Thank Allah, because he knows this. Be patient, and inshallah, and then you will find that right person. But the thing is, you know, to possess yourself first. You know, find out what you like, whether you're strong first, whether you're weak first, what you would accept, what you want to accept, the things that make you happy. You know, just learn to love and be with yourself first. So that's my 35 cents for today. Thank you so much. But as we are discussing, you know, it's some beautiful props that our brother have really went into depth with me. I'm loving it. It's just absolutely beautiful. Let me see, do we have any more questions? But before that, if we have anyone that would like to call in, because we will be ending the show from not too long here, you can call 563-999-3682, push 1, and we would gladly bring you in. But as you know, some like to just listen, and if you just like listening, then thank you nevertheless for listening. Praise be to Allah. The next question we have is from a brother. Quote, he said, "I'm a hard-working young man, and I would like to get married one day. But before, you know, I choose to be married," that he said, he has to get a lot of finance into place. So his question is, how can he allow the sister to know that he's interested but yet not ready to make that commitment? And I don't know, how can, you know, would she be able to, Do you think she will be patient enough, or should he just concentrate on what he's trying to do, and if God's willing, if it's meant to be, it will be? So what are your thoughts on the brother who's striving? Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely understand where the brother's coming from. The first thing I would say, brother, is take a chance. And when I say take a chance, mm-hmm. I mean that if you have stable income, right, and you have a fixed plan and you're a disciplined brother, then I would say don't notify her that what your intentions are. I would say just put the courtship papers in. Because the thing is what I don't want us as young men to get used to doing is saying, when I get all of my ducks in a row, because sometimes you might not ever get your ducks. Sometimes, brother, your ducks might not ever line up. Things might not ever get perfect for you until you challenge yourself with that marriage. I feel like, you know, sometimes Allah withholds blessings from us because we're afraid to challenge ourselves. I'm not saying, welcome to no sister, you don't have no job, you don't have no money in the bank at all. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that if you only got $2,000 saved up, and brother, if you got a plan and you got stable income, and all you need to get you over that hump sometimes is the love of a good woman, the motivation of a good woman, then, brother, go for it. Don't put off a courtship. Do not put off a courtship because you want things to be just like, well, you think that she won't accept you. You got some sisters that are beautiful, got beautiful spirits, beautiful hearts, and they're willing to work with their man. They're willing to struggle with their man because they believe in that man. So you go for the sister that you want. But make sure that you're disciplined enough to continue staying, disciplined enough to be able to stick it out. And if that woman sees you sticking out, brother, that woman will follow you really well. There's no such thing as anything or anybody more loyal than a woman that believes in her man.
Amen. And that is all God's praise because my father, he is absolutely right. When we see that brother who is trying, who has the spirit of God, you know, as the brother said, you know, that's not what we would do, of course, within the means of being respectful, but to have that brother meet his goal where he's trying to get to. Because as the Anjanaja Mama has said, that we console. We have that naturally in us when we see a brother that has that God in him, and that's the thing. When we see that God in him, we can't help but bring it out of the God in us, because we too are gods, as the most Anjanaja Mama teaches female God too, the second self of God, that is. And so the brother absolutely right, and I agree with him, to go for it. You know, we don't have one life to live. As long as we strive to do it, you know, in the manner that, you know, we're striving to do it, you know, be respectful and disciplined, you know, go for it. Because life is about living, and life is about being in happiness. Life is about enjoying. So, you know, as the brother said, if you have things in perspective, then do it. And as the minister once said, he was on one of his brother's shows. He was saying, you know, when he was four, if he had waited, you know, he may have been forever getting married too. He said, you know, everything is not going to be perfect. You're not going to be 100%. Now, he oftentimes was like, you know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Well, you're never going to do 100% of anything. Me, you, no one. That's just not going to happen. You know? Yes, sir.
Yep.
And so when,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
And like I was saying, you know, I don't want us young brothers to develop that mindset, I'm gonna wait until I get my stuff together. Like whose rubric are you using to determine what having your stuff together is? Because like I said, sometimes Allah will put you in a position, brother, where the only thing that will get you over that hump or make you successful is the introduction of a woman into your life. So don't put off a courtship. And like I said, these are the three essentials that you need to court a woman. You need to have some money saved. It could be $1,000. It could be $10,000. But at least if you have money saved, you're already used to putting money away from that which you earn. That's number one. Number two, you have to be gainfully employed. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad and the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan do not approve of brothers not having income. And then number three,
yes,
you have to have
a vision. A woman cannot get beside a man that does not have a vision for his own life, because a man that don't have a vision for his own life, he damn sure is not going to have a vision for a woman. So as long as you're saving, as long as you're gainfully employed, and as long as you have a vision, brother, go for the sister that you like. If she rejects your courtship, it is what it is. She wasn't the one for you. But if she does, keep in mind now, that sister is anytime a woman is getting with a brother when he's just starting out, she's taking a risk. She's taking more of a risk than he is. So for a woman to come into a situation that she knows is not 100%, that's a woman that deserves the world, and a real man will break his back to make sure that a good woman who stuck by him when he had nothing, when he was on the come up, he going to make sure that she's straight for life.
There he is. Wow. Beautiful. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Beautiful. Beautiful advice. Brother, my son, he's absolutely right. You know? And as I said, I was trying to find it. Holy Quran verse, but I couldn't quite, I don't quite see, I may be able to before we end. We have approximately about 12 minutes or so before we end this show. But so far, it's been absolutely wonderful. We appreciate the great questions that are coming in. But as the brother, my son says, say, he's absolutely right. You know, as long as you are trying and have, you know, the sufficient income in place, and as brother said, I have a vision. I love a man with a vision, and, you know, and I would do anything in my power with him, you know, to help him bring those visions into reality when I feel that they're you know, they're something that's great and positive, and it just you can't help it. It comes from naturally. So he's absolutely right, absolutely. We have this week, but again, for those who would like to call in before our show ends, please call 563-999-3682. Push 1, we'll be glad to bring you in. But nevertheless, we do thank you so much for the great questions, again, that you have been submitting. It has been absolutely wonderful. So we're going to take one more question, and then we're going to end the program. And the question is, let me get the theory right here. The question is, the wedding ring. The brother wants to know, he has a wedding ring, and how do you feel about it's not the most expensive wedding ring, but nevertheless, he has a wedding ring. But he said he would rather give a, you know, not so expensive wedding ring, but to give her more, you know, inshallah, they get married, of saving, you know, for a house or a business. So what did you feel about, you know, because some women, as you stated, you know, they go just crazy over a so-called wedding ring. What are your thoughts on the cheap wedding ring versus, you know, saving more for the future?
Oh, wow. Well, praise be to Allah. That's actually one of the most, that's very, very important, because I can remember there was a sister that I was interested in, and as we were getting to know each other, you know, I'm saying to myself, okay, this might be a sister that, you know, that I feel strongly about it. I feel strongly about courting. And then, you know, see, this is my thing. Some people might say, oh, that's not the way you should do it or whatever. But I believe in getting to know someone even before the actual courtship. And when I say getting to know them, I mean, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with holding a conversation with somebody, or, you know what I'm saying, like asking them certain questions, because you don't want to get into a courtship with somebody that you know absolutely nothing about. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, at that point, you're courting a stranger. You know, so I don't want to court somebody I know absolutely nothing about. So in a pre-courtship, you know, I asked the sister, I said, we got on the subject of engagement rings and wedding rings and things of that nature.
And she told me, now this was a sister in the links. She told me her engagement ring, not her wedding ring, not the down payment on the house. She told me the engagement ring, her engagement ring had to be $3,000 or she couldn't do it. And in my mind, like my jaw literally dropped because in my mind I said, hold on. I said, this is an MVP. This is an MVP. I said, I know that Minister Farrakhan and our dear sister Sandy is not teaching sisters to be materialistic like that in the MGT class. I know that for a fact, and I've never set foot in the MGT class. And so I was kind of taken aback, and I said to myself, I said, wow, so I said, this is the reason why so many marriages fail because of materialism. So many marriages fail because some brothers are not strong enough to tell a woman, you know, that I can't afford that. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to be, that wouldn't be a wise decision, dear sister, for me to spend $3,000 on an engagement ring when I can get you a decent engagement ring for like $400 or $500 and then a wedding ring for maybe like $600 or $700 and we put the rest of the money towards buying a house. Because to me, a real woman would much rather a big, it doesn't even have to be a great big house. She, a real woman would much rather have her own house where she can create heaven in than shiny and expensive trinkets. That's my perception of it. But you know, for me, brother, I would. As far as I'm concerned, you know, regardless of whatever my bankroll is or whatever like that, and to me, like where I'm at in my life, I'm not willing to spend any more than $300 to $500 on an engagement ring, and I'm not willing to spend any more than $800 to $1,200 on a wedding ring. Because my sole purpose is putting my wife in a house within the first 10 years of our marriage. That's my goal. And any woman that can't understand that, then that she would simply, it wouldn't make her a bad woman in my eyes, but she would just simply not be the woman for me because my mindset is so beyond materialism. You know what I'm saying? My mindset is on equity and on home ownership. And on legacy, being able to pass something on to my children. Because when I became an adult, my parents didn't have a house to give to me and my siblings. My dad doesn't have any heirlooms to give to me and my brothers. So my sole purpose is to make sure that I put my wife in a house that is her and that is my children, so that if something were to happen to me, they don't have to go sleep on a bridge somewhere. They don't have to go live with one of their relatives because I did the wise thing and made provisions for them early in life so that way we could enjoy them later on in life.
Praise be to God. I like that. We do have a caller on, brother, my father.
All praises are due to Allah.
Yes.
Which one is it? Is it the 617 or the 615?
The 615. I would like to.
The 615?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Area code 615, last four digits 0344. You're now live.
Caller, Brother Maurice, we can't hear you. Hello? Okay, I think we can have some difficulty. We can't hear, brother. Is your phone muted? Because we can't hear you. Yes, sir. We can't hear him. So I was suggesting hang up. Wow, exactly. And call back in because sometimes, unfortunately, you know, we do have there's technology can be difficult to you. But unfortunately, I think that is our dear brother, Mari, who wanted to speak. I would suggest he hang up and maybe call back in because the show will be ending tonight, we started earlier, so it's back in. So, Brother Mari, if you can hear me, let me send him maybe a text
Okay, I said, hold on. I think you hung up. You're calling back in.
Okay, good. Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. Can y'all hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Walaikum salam. Y'all can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Loud and clear.
All right. Praise be to Allah. All right, y'all have a very interesting subject. One thing that I know that a lot of the times, brothers, you know, we in the Nation of Islam, you know, the MGT, you elevate your woman. That's just the way it is. But I think that a lot of times MGT take that to the extreme, as our brother was talking about with the girl with the wedding ring. She wants a $3,000 ring at least, you know. And it's like, well, wait a minute. What do you bring to the table? I know what I bring to the table. What do you bring to the table? You know, because I was talking to this MGT once, and, you know, she was saying, you know, yeah, I would like to go into courtship with you and all that. And I'm like, really? I said, okay. I say, well, what kind of work do you do? And, you know, she told me the little job that she do. I said, okay, no problem. I said, how much debt do you have? And she got quiet. So I'm like, why you get quiet? You know, and she was just like, well, why did you ask me that? I said, because if I marry you, then I'm going to be responsible for your debt. And I want to know, what am I getting myself into? You know, and I was telling her that, you know, it's unfortunate, but people misrepresent themselves all the time. You know, the MGT can be, oh, you know, yes, sir, something like them, da 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 da. And FOI can be, yes, ma'am, something like them, da 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 da. But then after the deal is done, then you see this mess that you're actually dealing with, and you're thinking, why in the hell did I do it? So, you know, brothers, we got to understand who we are and what we have to offer and what is she bringing in. Because truly, whatever the debt that she has, you done bought it when you got her. And if she wasn't paying her bills before y'all got married, what the hell do you think she gonna do now after y'all done got married? So this is a problem that is within the nation, because that's why we have so many failed marriages or single brothers and sisters. Because there's a lot of foolishness going on. You have to really look at this thing as even Stephen. Because as the minister said, you know, to be a successful marriage, you know, you don't have the man hiding the money to give to the other woman, or the woman hiding the money, not wanting to tell the man this is that. You got to come together as a team. And you got to pool your resources as a team and work it out and see if y'all can do that. Now, if she's not willing to work together as a team, then you got a problem, because that she's telling you, I'm going to spend what I want to spend. And then you deal with the after effects. And that shit ain't going to work. That's not going to work. You know, so and it's not wrong. It is not wrong for us to say, what are you bringing to the table? How much money you make? Because I asked her that. I said, well, how much money do you make? And she says, well, you're not permitted to ask me how much money do I make. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, you must don't want to deal with me then. So you got to go find you somebody else, because any woman, I don't give a damn who you are or what your name is, I'm going to ask you, how much money do you make? This is something that you should know as a man, because you also want to know, well, do you plan to continue working, or do you plan not to work? Because some sisters will get there and be like, shit, I'm married now. I quit my job. You work. And it's like, what? You didn't even discuss it with me? You just left, you know, and, you know, I've been married to an MGT, and it was not successful. But there are always signs that you got to pick up on. See, one problem is our courtship process don't work. The shit just don't work, okay? Because it leaves too much room for people to be lying. It really leaves too much room for that. What I did, and we operated outside that courtship process, and I learned things that I would not have learned prior to getting married, but I did not pay attention. I didn't pay attention. I thought this. I'm a Muslim. She a Muslim. We can grow out of this. And that was my thinking. We'll grow out of this. And she has not grown out of that yet. I would give money.
Wow.
I would get paid, and I would give her money and say, put this money away, showing her that I don't have a problem with saving money. I don't have a problem with trusting her to hold the money. I don't have a problem with it. So we did this for like 8-9 months. So I'm calculating at home how much I done gave her. It's over $1,000. So one day I go to her and I say, let me get the money out of the thing that I've been holding. I want to go buy something. And she says, I said, what? She said, yeah, I spent it. What'd you spend it on? I had bills. And you didn't tell me? You didn't ask me? That was my money. It wasn't your money. You was just holding it from me. That's all you were doing was holding it from me. That's a clear-cut sign. Did I pay attention to it? No, I'm thinking, we grow together, we'll be all right. So I went and bought an engagement ring. The money that she took and spent was going to be the money that I used on an engagement ring, but that money is gone now. So I go to a pawn shop. I find a nice ring. I think it only cost me maybe like $500-$600. I get it, put it on layaway, pay it off, make the payment. She found the receipt somehow. I guess she maybe was going through my desk or whatever, but she found the receipt. So at dinner, and I popped the ring to her, and, you know, would you marry me and all that? She said, I'm not accepting that ring. I said, what? She said, I'm not accepting that. I said, why not? Because you got it from a pawn shop. I said, what? She's like, yeah, I'm not accepting it because you got it from a pawn shop. Well, I said then in my mind, well, shit, if you ain't going to accept this, you ain't going to accept nothing. I ain't buying you another one. This is it.
We got married anyway,
and I ain't never buying her no ring because I meant that. You know, you're not going to accept this because it was an insult to me. You steal my money, so I go to a pawn shop, buy you the best that I could afford, and you tell me that ain't good enough because it came from a pawn shop? But you ain't say, well, okay, I'll take it since I stole your money. You ain't say none of that. So we get married and we go on, we have babies. And this thing is repetitive. It's repetitive, you know, that they don't tell the truth and they hide this and being secretive of this and lying about this. And the whole freaking time you're thinking, well, I'm not perfect, but, you know, we'll work out in the end. And shit never worked out. And before we got married, I'll never forget this. I went up to Clarksville to sell my papers. I was getting out the car, and I swear for the Lord, Allah said, don't marry her. I heard it clear as blue. He said, don't marry her. I ignored it and did it anyway. And I've been paying for it every goddamn since. I've been paying for it ever since. So, brothers, you got to make sure you pay attention. Pay attention to the sign, because if not, and y'all have a baby, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. You have value, just like she has value. So she has to meet you in the middle. And if she ain't willing to meet you in the middle, pass her ass on and find somebody else, because there's more of them out there, and they would love us. Trust and believe. They would love us, because compared to the niggas out there, there's no comparison. Ain't no comparison.
Yes, sir.
Hands down, we win time after time. Ain't no comparison, you know? But know your value and never sell it out for a woman. Never. Never. Because you do it, you're going to be sorry. And remember, our minister, he didn't sell out for no woman. He was who he was.
No, sir.
And if we watch that man in the mission, and now he's talking, and he said, you women can't handle no man like me, because I wouldn't put up with that with you for a minute. I'll drive you out the door. And at one point he even said, I'll throttle you, because I don't like for no woman to try to dominate no man. And you got to remember that. We got to remember that. We are precious, and we are just as important as they. And never forget that. And I rest my mind. Y'all should have had this program longer, because I could have called some people and say, hey, come here. You need to hear this.
Hey, I guess all that means is that we got to do part two next week.
For real? Shoot. And Brother Marcellus, I want to thank you for that post that you put up. And, you know, we were having that discussion because it's so very important. It is so very important that we have these kinds of conversations with each other so we can be real and drop off the pretend and just be real of what's going on. Let's lay it out on the table, and then we can build from there because we're starting on the basis of truth. And we're not starting on the basis of lies. So, y'all, excellent job, dear brother. Good job, Sister Pam, for having this program. Next time, do a part two.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Maurice, for your insight and experiences that you have shared. Praise be to them. And that's why I wanted to have, you know, as I always say, here, there, and everywhere, Sister Pamela is Tony Chiparia. That's the only way to grow from my imperfections and, you know, everyone else. So with that, we're going to end the show. Thank everyone for their great question, Brother Maurice, for calling in. Of course, my dear beloved brother, my son, who does such a wonderful job. And please tune in to his show on Saturdays. I think at 7, usually Mountain Time, if I'm not mistaken. And with that, brother, do you have any closing words or not?
Oh.
Sir? Brother Marcellus?
Oh. Yes.
Yes, sir.
All praise be to Allah. I just said I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I want to thank you for this opportunity this evening, and shout out to Brother Maurice for his words, and, you know, just everybody who really took the time out of the evening to make this show what it was. It was a great, great installment.
Yes, thank you so much. And with that, thank you all. Assalamu alaikum. Peace and love to all.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.